Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I go to bed, and this is probably wrong, but my head hits the pillow and I'm still working.
Yeah.
Because of today's as well, with social media, and obviously that's such a big part of our job.
Yes.
And then you get up in the morning, you start working, and I love it. Yeah. I'm not complaining.
No.
I love it and I live for it, and work is not work to me. I don't think I've ever worked a day in my life.
Hello and welcome back. This week's guest is Zanna Roberts-Rassi, who's a very Renaissance woman with her fingers in many different pies. She is a stylist, television host, most notably for E! News, journalist and co-founder of the hugely successful Milk Makeup, which has just launched into the UK on Cult Beauty. Zanna now lives in New York, but we met while she was over in the UK a few weeks ago to talk journalists through the range. And I thought she'd be an interesting guest because she's both hugely successful and enormously busy. But I kept being told by her friends that despite those two things, she's really generous with her time and grounded. So I wanted to get her tips on basically how she goes about living her life. And also, of course, a beauty journalist who owns a makeup range is always going to have some thrilling beauty wisdom to share. I should flag before you listen that we had some issues with it being a bit noisy where we were recording. I asked my excellent producer Charlie to turn it down a notch, but I'm afraid there's only so much that he could do, so please bear with us. It does quieten down towards the end. Here's Zanna. Before we talk about the astonishing success of your life now and of Milk, I want to go back and talk about young Zanna growing up in Manchester.
I feel like I'm going to have a psychological shrink session right now, which you'll probably need at this point
Welcome
in my life.
Welcome to my sofa. Yeah, so tell me, what was that like? What was your childhood like?
Grew up in Manchester, one of three girls, is the youngest. Very, very traditional upbringing. Mum stayed at home with the three girls. Dad went to work.
What did your dad do?
He was ex-military, and then he was a chartered surveyor, so he was in real estate, as we say in America.
Yeah.
But grew up in Manchester, lovely, warm family, very traditional. But, you know, I was the youngest of three girls, so I was kind of probably the runaway, like, tearaway, knew I wanted to just do my own thing.
So, your sisters, what's the age gap?
So there's 5 years, my eldest is 5 years older than me, and then the middle one is 3 years older than me, and then I'm the baby. So we're in quite a tight span.
But then they were, presumably, they got to the stage of dressing up and wearing makeup before you did.
Way, way before, and I rapidly grew up because of them, and I would constantly steal their stuff to the point where, I mean, the arguments in the house.
Yeah.
Zanna! Where'd she take on this? Yeah. Mom, tell her not to take my stuff. Yeah. It was just, it was part of it, right?
What and were you taking? Do you remember any of the stuff they were using?
Definitely, I would take definitely their cassette tapes. So it was like Wham.
Yeah.
I would definitely.
So that was the '80s then?
The '80s.
Amazing
like
time.
Late '80s.
Everything,
yeah.
Music and cultural. Yeah.
Always. I remember, take their definitely their cassettes. Mm. Definitely their makeup. When it came to makeup, the one product that really stands out was you probably remember Rimmel Twilight Teaser.
I don't remember the color.
It was purple.
Okay.
It was like a holographic purple.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm looking at one of our Milk Makeup products now. I'm like, oh my god, it looks just like
it
that.
Does.
It's like no more like this holographic.
Oh really? Okay.
So
fine. Properly
Rimmel
purple.
Twilight Teaser, and I bet a lot of your listeners remember it.
Mm.
But I remember stealing that once, and it was like the tiniest bullet that was left because. You know, it was a precious commodity as well.
Yeah.
We weren't buying makeup, or like I'm now in a world where I see so much makeup all the time. But then it was like, oh my god, I found this, I've got it. And it was a tiny little bullet. And I remember putting it on my lips and seeing the difference it made to my face.
Yeah.
I remember it lighting my face up. And all for the first time in my life, I was probably 11, 12.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh my gosh. And I actually think I felt pretty.
Yeah.
And I don't think I ever did before that, because I was kind of a tomboy before.
Were you aware of the way you looked, or was it more just that you liked experimenting with the colours?
I liked experimenting, but when I saw that, I was now aware of the power of a lipstick.
Gotcha. So you suddenly clicked.
It was like, oh my God, this is, I'm a different person. And then I started playing with my hair, and I remember pulling it back and actually seeing like cheekbones for the first time and looking at my features like I never had in any of the days before that until I was, it was probably 12, 13.
Was there someone you wanted to look like, or someone you looked up to? Either like a pop star or someone in your life?
Later on, it was always Kate Moss, because it was when she came. It was the Calvin Klein days. It was when she first started doing the One campaign, and that was without doubt, oh my God.
What happened then? So you get to 16, and have you done your GCSEs?
Done my GCSEs, was at college doing my A-levels.
Yeah, what were you reading? What were you studying?
I was doing psychology, which I still love today, business studies, communication studies.
Oh, so everything you're using
Everything I'm using now. Excellent. Absolutely, yeah. I remember my
obviously had a good career advisor.
I did, and I got 3 A's, so that wasn't too bad. When I was at college, my boyfriend at the time entered me into a modelling competition.
Okay.
Which I would never have done in a million years, but he sent pictures of me to this. It was a Storm Calvin Klein like national competition. I just remember getting a phone call and them saying, oh, will you come to London for the final? I was like, for the final of what?
On a landline, were you?
Oh, a landline. I was like, hello, 8338. my mum's phone, the only phone number I still remember. And it was a process of elimination. Then there was a thing in Manchester and semi-finals, and then a final in London.
So were you keen?
I was shocked.
Right.
I was shocked, but then I was like, oh, yeah. Well, you know what? I'm really interested in this industry.
Right, yeah.
I'm really interested in magazines. And that was always my, from a fashion, from a beauty perspective, I didn't even really know a beauty editor job existed. Yeah. I just knew I was obsessed with reading my mum's and my sister's magazines.
Yeah.
And I saw this as kind of a way in. Mm-hmm. So I did the competition. Apparently I won it. It was very, very odd.
What did you... Do you remember what you wore in the competition? And what you... Like, did they do your hair and makeup?
Oh, my God. They did my hair. I had full-on braces at the time. So top and bottom, train tracks. Not attractive at all.
Okay.
I was very... I was small. I was like 5'6", 5'5", 5'6½".
Yeah.
So not tall at all. I remember going to this competition. There was, like, these giant other girls, boys and girls. It was look of 96, I remember.
Right.
We just wore t-shirts. It was like very Calvin Klein, so it was like no makeup, these t-shirts. We had to do a runway walk. It was at St. Martin's, and I remember doing this runway walk, and I was like mortified because A, I cannot walk like a model, B, I'm not a model, and C, I was literally the smallest one there with braces.
Okay, but you won.
I won. It was the shock of my life.
Okay.
I mean, it was an amazing, because you won a Storm contract, you won this opportunity to work with amazing editorials. So they'd start after that, they'd start bringing me to London from Manchester while I was doing my GCSEs to do shoots with, you know, I remember Mix Mag, I do Cosmo magazine, I do Elle magazine. It was just, it was, but that was it for me. That then clicked.
And you must, and you must have been picking up tips and thinking.
I was on set, scared to death to be in front of a camera, to be honest. I remember even one photographer whispering behind the camera saying, she's really pretty, but I don't think we're going to get her to move. And that to me was, oh, I'm going to cry.
I don't know
what to do.
And makes people really self-conscious.
It was the worst.
Yeah.
And they were doing my hair, they were doing my makeup. I didn't look like myself. And I remember standing behind the camera, I was like, I want to be behind the camera here.
Yeah.
I want to understand what you guys are doing. Because I don't really like this. I'm not confident enough, and I was younger.
Yeah, so although people saw it in you, you were like, actually, I mean, look a certain way, but really I want to be that side, and I want to be doing what you're doing.
Exactly.
So how did you do that?
So every shoot I went on from that day, I decided to find out what everyone else's job was. So I understood then the world of a beauty editor. I understood the world of the photographer. I understood what a producer did. And one day I got my lucky shoot with Looks magazine at the time, and it was Becky Field who was the editor. And I said to her, and Kelly was also working, and I would love to see them today because they really like got me into it. But I said, "What would you ever take me as work experience? Like, do you need any help? What can I do? And I'm an amazing researcher, and I work really hard, and I'm a good all-rounder. Like, whatever you need, I will do it."
Yeah.
And they said, come and join us for a few weeks. Like,
okay.
I would...
Were you living in Manchester?
Living in Manchester. Okay. Then I moved and slept on my sister's sofa in London.
Okay.
And started doing work experience. So I did that. And anything they asked, they'd do a something on lipsticks, and I would go literally to the library at the time or buy the books because you weren't used on the internet. I would literally research every single thing, and I used a lot of psychology research as well. So the history of the lipstick, the psychology of the lipstick. I put together a giant binder for them for this one little tiny feature, and they were like, okay, this girl's working. She wants to really do this. And then a job came up at Marie Claire as a beauty assistant, and they kindly recommended me, and I went for the interview with Susanna Cohen, who's still a dear friend today, and came to the beauty launch for us.
I worked under Susanna Cohen.
You did not? Yes. Oh my god, she was at our party the other. She's been a dear and such a great mentor. But yes, she hired me.
Yeah.
And that was that.
I think that's something that is commonly misunderstood about being in the very early stages of your career. Correct me if you think I'm wrong, but I think that when you're doing the things that feel like they have nothing to do with your career, like you're not writing, you're researching, you're running around looking at lipsticks, okay, fine, it's broadly in the field you want to be in, but you're working really hard, and then the people who have those jobs go, ah, she could do this, and you're welcomed in.
Whereas,
you know, so you have to do all that rubbish stuff, basically,
picking up clothes. I will go and do your dry cleaning if you want. Yeah. I will lick your shoes clean if you need me to, because I want this job.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that I will always see in people I hire today. If you are willing to do anything.
Yes.
And not dirty work, not schlepping around for me, but if you're willing to do anything for the job and the greater cause of what we're doing.
Yeah.
And you just see passion in people.
But these creative jobs as well, they're not jobs that you can... it's not a 9-to-5. There's something about it lives in you as well, and I think you have to be aware that when you do this kind of job, you are taking on a mindset.
And even today, you know, I've now like cut two 15 years later, maybe 20 years later. I go to bed, and this is probably wrong, but my head hits the pillow and I'm still working.
Yeah.
Because of today's as well, with social media, and obviously that's such a big part of our job, but and then you get up in the morning, you start working, and I love it. I'm not complaining.
No.
I love it and I live for it, and work is not work to me. I don't think I've ever worked a day in my life.
But it does tire you out. We'll come to this.
I want to go back
because you look really well and healthy, but I know how full on your life is, so I want to get some of your tips. But going back to when you started out and you were working in magazines, were there any products or things that you discovered that you were like, bloody hell, how did I not know about this?
Good question.
Because when was that? That
would have been everything, like really, because I wasn't that versed in beauty when I started in beauty. I had to learn it. I would read every book about skincare. I would read all the Beauty Bible at the time, it was called. I would literally study.
Yes, the Beauty Bible was huge.
I'd be trusted to write things about beauty, and I'd be like researching trying all the products and legitimately trying it from a consumer's perspective, because I wasn't trained in it. So that was quite an interesting take on it, and I would be like, okay, this lipstick, and I would give a very very honest opinion on it and review on it.
So almost like blogging before blogging started in a way in your mindset.
Yeah, because it was an amateur trying it from the way a consumer would. Best products. I remember that Le Kérastase launches were always mind-blowing to me.
Yeah.
I remember the early MAC stuff.
Because you're a blonde, but were you always dyeing your hair very blonde?
I had red hair actually when I started.
Oh, did you?
Okay. Yeah.
But you were colouring your hair, so hair care was important
hair
to
care
you.
Was important, even though I mean, we still never managed to figure that one out, frazzle. I remember, God, who were the early... I always laugh, but I'm kind of a self-tan addict.
Yes.
So I remember when Saint Tropez launched its sprays as well, and that was it. Because before that, when I first was there, it was just you'd have to go and have a tan rubbed on.
Yes.
Which was so.
And then you'd look filthy for like 2 hours.
Rolling in mud,
however long it was.
Literally a mud bath.
Yeah.
And then I probably would go to work, and it was actually a long standing joke in the Marie Claire office that every Friday, Nicola Moulton, who's still a dear friend today, was with us and the team, and they were like, oh, it's Friday, and they could smell fake tan.
Yes.
Because every morning I'd go for a Saint Tropez spray tan because I'd be going out that night. To the point where I was so addicted that I actually wrote a feature, which is a 12-step program to getting off fake tan.
But did it work? Because you look quite tan today.
No, it didn't work.
It didn't work.
It was like the addict's diary.
Yeah, fake tan.
Skincare, I learned about it literally on the job.
Did you ever have skin problems?
I was very fortunate and didn't have acne, because I watched both of my sisters go through that as well, really badly. And I saw the pain it would cause them and the arguments it would cause in the house and the insecurities they felt. And I remember my sister Janie really going through it, and she would just not want to go out and then get really upset about it. And I managed to just go under that one quite. I was very fortunate. But today I now suffer the driest skin in the world. Right, and my skin looks a hell of a lot older than theirs does.
So when you get older, exactly. Yeah, I was going to say, that's the thing about acne. It's hell when you're young. And then when you get older, provided it's gone away, you get slightly more oil. So in a way...
Exactly. I would go back now and actually have
it. No, you don't. Really. Acne's awful. Yeah, yeah, and you get scars too, so you're better off.
Dr. Hauschka was an early one.
Oh, yes.
A very early... Day Rose Cream, yes. I tried when it first came out, and I still today swear by that and use it daily.
People with dry skin love that moisturiser. It's the best. It's really thick, and it smells amazing, doesn't it?
It's thick, but it absorbs very, very quickly. Yeah. And it just smells... smells like heaven.
What about exercise, then? Because you're fit. You look fit. Are you fit?
I'm a big Bikram hot yoga person.
Okay. And did you discover that back then?
I discovered that back then. Yeah. I would do, like, the 30-day challenges.
Ooh.
I remember doing that in Shoreditch when it first started, and I signed up again, did a feature on it, and they were like, we were so lucky. I really want to try this. So then go do it. I would do the 30-day challenges and never be so ripped in my life.
So you like a challenge? Clearly.
I like it when a challenge, and you know what, there's something about having the social facilitation of other people, of documenting what you're doing, or other people watching it.
Yeah.
So I think today with social media, it's actually helping us in that. Well, the amount of friends I see doing like fit challenges on Instagrams, and there is something about that. It's like when you go to the gym and you see someone, you know, or you're with other people, you work harder.
Well, you've committed to a journey, haven't you? And then you have to see it out. And it's,
totally.
There are people involved in it in a way.
Yeah, there are.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Eyes on you.
So it sounds like you had a nice life at that point. You're doing a job you love.
Very nice.
You're healthy, you're tanned, you're enjoying your life.
No, but I'm not healthy. I look healthy because I'm really tanned.
You look healthy. And so tell me how you went from that to entrepreneur, presenter, living in America.
Oh,
what happened there?
So after working at Marie Claire for 7 years, I worked my way up from beauty assistant to assistant beauty director when Susanna was off on maternity. And then I would go to America a lot on press trips.
Yes.
I remember going on to do the Diana Ross Mac collaboration and like interviewing Diana Ross in the Carlisle Hotel, and then Maybelline would take me over there.
That sounds so fabulous.
It was so fabulous. I got the life as a beauty editor. It was just equivalent probably to what an influencer's life is today. And we were early influencers and the only people really writing about beauty. So we were spoiled rotten. And I remember once Mac took me on as I did an undercover makeup artist. So I went on to Paris for the Fashion Week with the MAC team, and I was on like McQueen shoot doing the biggest model's makeup, like fake eyelashes on them. I was doing, was it Erin Watson's makeup or someone earlier, maybe Jaquetta Wheeler's, they were all walking in the show, and I was there as an undercover MAC makeup artist. I don't know how they trusted me. It was hilarious. It was such a fun story, though.
Yeah.
But I was travel was the point. That travel was a big part of it.
Yes.
So New York, I just fell in love with it.
Mm-hmm.
Completely fell in love with New York. I did meet a certain man on a shoot at Milk Studios in New York.
Uh-huh.
We did a shoot there. I met this guy who we were at Marie Claire, and they were like, oh, we can't afford to shoot at Milk.
Yeah.
And the photographer at the time was like, oh, I know the guy who runs it, who owns it, la, 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 it's fine, we can do the shoot there. And I was like, okay, fine, but I'm not paying those bills.
Yeah.
And then we shot there, and I was walking out of the studio to go and get a coffee or probably argue about the bill. And I bumped into Rossi.
Right.
And we were introduced. Drinks followed that night with the whole crew. And a two-year whirlwind romance, basically, followed after that day.
So you were back and forth?
Back and forth
from
New York.
And what point did you make the leap?
2 years after.
Okay.
I would never... And he was like, just move. Come on, you'll do great here. You know, you're going to love it here. And I said, I'm not moving for a man.
Yeah.
I love you. I think you're amazing. And we have so much fun together. But I would never move for you because I've worked so hard in my career. And I have a really... Like you said, I had a great life. I had a great job. I had great friends. It was pretty successful for my age at 25. I loved it. I love London. I love the people there. I was like really hard sleep. But literally a job at Marie Claire US fell on my lap.
Right.
I met somebody out accidentally at a party, fashion director there, and she said, I know your work. I think you could do fashion as well, because beauty here was so much about styling. You had to do everything, right?
Yeah.
So you're writing copy, you're styling covers, you're creative directing the show.
And if you have a vision, an aesthetic appreciation, sometimes there's a crossover. There often is.
And I think Americans respect, they kind of love that British, aesthetic.
Yeah, yeah.
So cut to moving there, becoming fashion editor there, and then that was 2006.
2006, okay. So in 2006, New York, was the makeup and the beauty scene vastly different to how it was in London?
It was, I would say, less experimental.
Okay.
I find just generally that girls there didn't look the same. They were very groomed.
Right.
You know, I'd show up with my shaggy hair and my kind of mascara probably like underneath my eyes and a little bit like slept in look.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas there, there'd be the beautiful glossy blowouts, mm-hmm. as we call them. You know, once a week, every girl would have a blowout. The manicure would be perfect. Mine would be chippy.
Yeah.
But it was easy access there to beauty as well, like it is here today. But back then, you know, every corner had a nail salon. It would cost you $8 to go and get a manicure.
Yeah.
Everywhere you'd have a quick blowout where you just nip in and have a quick, which is today normal here.
So you're working at Marie Claire.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens?
Then I start doing, and I think I can definitely thank the beauty editor background for this and the journalist in me, but started working at Marie Claire and got asked to do a Today Show segment. Today Show is the biggest national morning breakfast show, like 10, 12 million people watch it every day.
Yeah.
Would you come and do a fashion segment on this show?
Yeah.
Of course, I'm petrified. Yes, I will. And from soup to nuts, you produce it. So you come up with the ideas, mm-hmm. you come up with the tips, mm-hmm. you get the models on the set, then you go and host this. You write your own script.
Right, yeah.
You go in and host a segment.
It's like hosting a mini show, almost.
Exactly, and it's like a magazine format show.
Right.
I went on petrified.
Yeah.
But weirdly, when I got on camera, loved it.
Yeah.
And it was so strange to me because I've never really done that since, like, way back in the modeling days when I was petrified.
Yeah, yeah.
Still, I did it and I was confident and I loved it because I think I was more in control of it because I'd done all the research in the background.
Also, it's very different to be, for your image to be the singular thing, and then to, but the conversely, it's to have a voice and to be able to speak and to be curating something is not the same thing.
Exactly, because you're in control. I enjoyed being on camera if I'd done the groundwork and I'd done all the research, and I loved taking... I liked imparting advice.
Yes.
And I think that comes from beauty editor days where it was tips and tricks.
Yeah.
And I found that that's where I felt my happiest because I was being useful to the consumer. And I've always been consumer facing, be it from magazine days, from giving editorial tips and tricks. And it was just an extension of that. I was just basically transferring my beauty editor skills to a TV platform.
Yes.
And loved it. And
they asked me to come back then.
They kept on asking me to come back.
Yeah.
And then all other shows would start asking me to go on. And then I did a TV show called Running in Heels at Marie Claire. And that was basically following us around.
Yeah,
so I became much more used to having the camera follow us and be on camera. And I just really loved it so much.
Yeah.
And early on, it was apparent to me that that's probably where I should try and spend more time. So while still doing a full-time job at the magazine, I was... doing shoots, doing covers, styling celebrities, I was still trying to do this other side thing.
Yeah.
Which was great for the magazine, because I was obviously representing Marie Claire at all times, but at one point I realized I wanted to make the leap, and it was a show called Rachel Ray, and they offered me a big contract saying, would you come on as our special editor? I'm like, yeah, I want to do this. So it was like that jump a little bit away from magazines to go as a...
Can I ask you about the shift from just being like a private person who enjoyed looking nice to being on TV, where presumably you're wearing more makeup in
my
experience?
Oh my God, a lot more makeup.
Kind of stage makeup. Did you adopt that in your real... Like, how did that affect you? Is it something you'd slap on just to go on TV and
yes,
then take it off?
Absolutely. Okay, yeah, I'm still like, I'd much rather have like a fresh, no makeup look day to day.
Yeah.
But I remember sitting in a makeup chair in New York, and TV makeup in New York was very different in my first role. And the bouffant that I was given by the hairdresser, the makeup that I was given was a mask. It was, quite frankly, old-fashioned, and I looked like an icon.
Yeah.
I was petrified. I remember running into the dressing room, like behind the curtain, rubbing it off, trying to get it like somewhat to look a little bit disheveled. I mean, I had an inch of like HD foundation on.
Yeah.
The contour.
Yeah.
And
it's not very
step
British,
eyeshadow.
Is it?
Oh my God.
It's not very British. Like, I think that's the thing that like, it's quite hard to explain
not
that.
Cool.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
The volume on top of mine was literally like 3 inches at the roots.
Because if you like to look a bit cool, it's quite hard when someone does that to you.
Shocker. I literally rubbed it all off and then went on TV looking probably like completely bedraggled. But I'd rather bedraggled,
you'd rather look bedraggled
than wearing this mask with an anchor woman head.
Where did Milk come from?
So
we know where the name came from.
We know Milk Studios. Yes. So my Rassi, my husband, who's one of the co-founders and our CEO, built Milk Studios 20 years ago. Over the 20 years, curated an incredible bunch of creative people who live and breathe and eat there. So you've got photographers, you've got models, you've got influencers, celebrities, musicians, and it's this melting pot and crossroads of all these different worlds.
Yeah.
And you have to come to Milk Studios to believe it. You literally go in and you'll be in the studios and in the lobby, and you'll see everyone from Kanye West to Winnie Harlow to Zoe Kravitz to but not just the best in class, it's the next generation as well.
Yeah.
These aspiring upcoming amazing artists.
Yeah.
And then you go down to the jam room and you've got Gary Clark Jr. playing a set, you've got Patti Smith rehearsing, and then you've got all these cool new young musicians there. And you look around at the way everyone wears makeup.
Yeah.
And it is so different but also unique and so cool.
Yeah.
Right? So you've got girls with like yellow eyebrows and black lips. So you've got a fresh-faced editor walking around with like a lollipop lip and a little bit of a pinch in the cheek.
Yeah.
You've got, you know, the coolest girl working in the equipment room. She's tatted up with inky black eyeliner.
Right. Yeah.
And it's just this, I call it a walking Pinterest page of references. Mm-hmm. And Rassi tasked myself as an ex-beauty editor and someone who's in the industry who works with makeup artists on a daily basis and the best in the business.
Yeah.
And Georgie Greville, who is our other co-founder, who is the coolest girl you will ever meet.
Yeah.
She's a creative director by trade. She directs music videos. She's won VMAs.
Okay.
She is so... She
I'm
is
really
like,
understanding what pulled this together now.
Oh my God. Yeah. She's like an early adopter of every single trend.
Fine, yeah.
And Diana Roof, who is our COO. So she actually makes the products.
Okay.
She is a product wizard.
Right.
She created Hard Candy.
Yeah.
She worked on Gliss
Love
Cosmetics.
Hard Candy.
Oh my God. So now you see a little bit of the
Love
influences.
Hard Candy.
And
yeah.
She is a girl who will never, ever make anything that already exists.
Fine.
Like to art, we will say, we need an eyeliner.
Yeah,
and she's
not
until we're doing something unique and different.
So
the whole line we all created kind of initially around the idea that cool girls get ready quick.
Yes.
Milk girls and guys get ready quick.
Yeah.
When it came to build Milk makeup, it was something that had to be kind of utilitarian.
Mm-hmm.
Something that was very easy to use on the go, hence the sticks.
Yeah.
Something that was clean ingredients, but still had epic payoff because our girl likes effects.
What are your favorite products from it?
Oh my gosh.
Actually, sorry, can I ask you something?
Yeah.
What are your five favorite products? Let's say 3 Milk and 2 non-Milk.
Okay. My Milk Kush Mascara
yes.
contains hemp-derived cannabis oil. So we discovered that because we are a vegan brand, mm-hmm. and you cannot put beeswax in a mascara, right. as most people do,
yes.
to bind it if you're a vegan brand.
Right.
Cannabis oil, hemp-derived cannabis oil, was the natural... Yeah.
Does it do anything good for your lashes?
It's amazing for your lashes. There's a reason this is our best seller.
Yeah.
Our best selling product. It really nourishes your lashes. Oh, nice. And it whips the formula so it goes on so smoothly and comes off smoothly as
oh,
well.
Nice.
So there's none of that tug.
Okay.
We've actually realised that people's lashes are getting healthier. Then I'm a big fan of Tan, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
So Baked Bronze, which yeah. is our stick bronzer.
Ooh.
I will use that on my face in a pinch. It's
is
like
that
a
what
10
you've got
second
on now?
Tan.
Okay, yeah, because you look really glowy.
And I'll use it on my legs.
Yeah.
I literally will just pop it on with a bit of moisturiser and
yeah,
it's like
yeah,
a really
yeah.
quick tan. And then I would say highlighter in Lit
yes.
for a classic champagne highlight. And again, I'll use that on like cheekbones, yeah. under eyebrows, and then on décolleté for crying
yeah.
out. And they would probably be my three staple live or die desert island
yeah.
products.
Yeah.
When it comes to other products, I am Dr. Hauschka,
yeah.
Day
Rose
Cream. Cannot live without that. And also... Whey.
Okay.
Dry mousse.
Yes. Dry shampoo.
Dry shampoo, but
yeah,
the
yeah,
mousse.
Yeah.
Jen Atkin is a good friend of mine. And
yeah.
It's funny because their line has kind of grown at the same time as ours.
Yes.
And we're kind of like these sisters in beauty.
Yeah.
And
quite a similar vibe,
very,
feel.
Yeah, we do a lot of projects together. Actually,
yeah,
we've done like milk,
me.
Makeup, and whey videos. And
yeah.
She's the coolest chick on the planet. And so, and I just... That
you
dry
just like
shampoo
it,
is
yeah.
Just,
it is
just
awesome.
Fun.
It's brilliant. I like using it as well.
It's
I can't
weird, right?
And it gives you that nice volume at the roots, which some dry shampoos don't.
Exactly, and it kind of gives me that ratty hair that I love.
Okay, we're going to have to wrap up in a second. I just want to ask you before we go,
mm-hmm.
In terms of self-care, looking after yourself now, you're
mm-hmm.
busy, you have children,
mm-hmm.
you're basically running an empire. Tell me what you do
our
to look after
is,
yourself.
And they're amazing, and I want to give all props to them, because
yes.
without our incredible team,
yeah.
I mean, we're 50 deep now.
Wow,
and
okay.
they are... so hardworking and so passionate about makeup, it blows my mind every day.
Yeah, yeah. It's the nicest thing to be surrounded by people who love their job.
Oh my god, and again, they don't work it in. I really don't feel like they work it in
yeah,
in their
yeah,
lives.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
just love makeup.
They love
and they'll always be sending ideas and coming up with new smart product ideas, names,
yeah.
like social posts. I mean, they're just
yeah.
geniuses.
Yeah.
But so how do I look after myself?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I surround myself with those good people.
Mm-hmm.
I spend as much time as I can with our 4.5-year-old twins.
Yes.
Gorgeous. On the health side, I eat healthily.
Mm-hmm.
I do try and do that, because otherwise I try and sleep 8 hours.
Yeah.
And even if I am traveling like crazy, I need that sleep.
Yeah.
I am one of those people who just cannot function with
yes.
less, even though I had 2 small kids.
Yeah.
And people are like, you never do, because you're always on planes and this, that, and the other. I'm like, well, I do, because I actually make myself.
You prioritize sleep,
I
yeah.
have to,
yeah.
I'm just...
I'm the same, otherwise
that,
the
right?
other 16 hours don't work, so I'm like, I have to have the 8 hours.
That's
otherwise
it.
No,
there's
yeah.
no point in
yeah.
even doing
yeah.
that.
Yeah, quite.
And I have a glass of wine. I see my friends. I talk to my family when
yeah.
I can, and that makes me a whole person. I always have something to look forward to.
I'm not surprised to hear you say that you talk to your friends and family, because everyone who talks about you goes, she is the nicest, funnest, best, so
oh.
this is... I've never. Everyone only has nice things to say about you, and actually, like having spoken to you today, I understand why. But I just mean that obviously, community is quite important to you, and people love you back for that, which is
it's
nice.
So that's the biggest compliment I can get, truly.
Yeah.
And I think, and it is. And we had a friends and family party the other night, and the amount of people who from past, present, and future
mm-hmm.
who were there, and
yeah.
it's just that warms my heart. I've always got like some kind of party or something fun to look forward to, as
yeah,
well,
yeah,
because
yeah.
that keeps me.
Yeah.
I mean, right now I'll get back, and then we're back into Fashion Week, and then I do the Oscars, because
yeah.
I work with E! Now, and that's
yeah.
a big role of mine, and it's also exciting, and
yeah.
I'm always looking forward to something
yeah.
as well, and
that's a great
that
way to
going.
To look forward
yeah.
to things. Yeah, well, on that lovely note, thank you so
thank
much
you
for your
so
time. So that was the lovely Zana. I've had a few questions about Milk makeup since talking about it on my Instagram, so I will of course link to the brand in the show notes so you can check out the product Zana loves, and also I'll link to a couple of my favorites. Thank you for joining this week. There will be an expert slot episode out this Friday, and I'm back next week with a new guest, so see you then. Bye.
Hold up.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.